ImpactWrestlingRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Hidaka Aikuto. Onegai shimashita.
What? Oja Ganamata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Everybody, welcome to The Rack. I am right here on wildtalkradio.com. Sorry, I'm watching football. I'm a little distracted.
Football.
Football. Brought to you by pwmania.com. I am, as always, Lindsay Ward. And Cutler, complete the pass. God damn it. And joined, as always, is my awesome yet sleepy producer, Sir Rockin.
Woohoo! Let's get fired up tonight. Woohoo!
And also we are joined by the one, the only, the awesome Inzenwa from Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show.
Hello, everybody. First time on the rack. Not the last, hopefully.
No, you are always welcome.
Good to hear.
And then, of course, we have a very special guest.
We do have a special guest, and we play a little something right now.
Once a year we celebrate, we're stupid, had some plastic plates, the fact that you were able to make another trip around the sun. And the whole clan gathers round and gifts and laughter do abound, and we let out a joyful sound and sing that stupid song.
Happy birthday,
now you're 1 year older.
Happy birthday,
your life still isn't over.
Happy birthday,
you did not accomplish much, but you didn't die this year, I guess that's good enough.
So let's drink to your fading health and hope you don't remind yourself your chance of finding fame and wealth decrease with every year. Does it feel like you're doing laps and eating food
and
hoping that someday perhaps your life will hold some cheer?
Happy birthday!
What have you done that matters?
Yes, in case you haven't guessed, we have a birthday boy on the panel tonight. It is, of course, the awesome Aussie from Down Under, Mace. Even though
why do I feel the need to drink moonshine and move into a trailer after hearing that?
Because we all do.
Do we?
We do. Or at least I do. It reminds me of home. It brought a little tear to my eye.
Aw, sentiment.
Yes, sentimental. So we have a lot to get to this week.
Yeah, we do.
We do. We have a whole bunch of stuff.
We do. But first, before we get into our news and our notes, we've got our question of the night. For those of you not familiar, we ask a question at the beginning of the show, and we ask you to contemplate it, and then at the end, we discuss it. So, for everybody out there listening, everybody on the panel, the question of the night is as follows. If WWE were to replace the general managers of Raw and SmackDown with a big name, who would you like to see WWE name as GM? So, think it over, contemplate, and then we will discuss. hopefully at the end of the show.
We have interesting responses, just pointing it out.
Ooh. Ooh, we have interesting responses from Facebook and Twitter?
We do.
Sweet. Yes, for those of you that don't know, we also put this out about midday on Thursday. So if you'd like to respond that way, you can go to Wild Talk Radio on Facebook and at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. But I think we need to get into the news, and I think there are some big stories this week. What do you think?
There are some big stories this week, but the first one goes with something to do with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Apparently, Daniel Bryan gave an interview to WWE Magazine, and he's talked to William Regal about potentially being his on-air manager.
Hmm.
And he went on to say, as quote, "I would love to have William Regal as my manager. We've actually talked about it. There are so many entertaining bits we could do. He's such an entertaining character. So we've got some ideas, and I would love to do it."
Think about this. William Regal trying to manage both Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God.
You know, the funny thing is, I actually did think about that today. And that was right after I heard the second part of William Regal's interview with Colt Cabana on Art of Wrestling, mm-hmm. which you should definitely look into. He has a very good two-part interview. It's a first-ever two-part interview, by the way. Like, there's one last week, and the other half is this weekend. It got really, really interesting.
Regal's one of those... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, including how he actually teamed up with Bobby Eaton. It's even more interesting. It's funny how they came together, and it's like, oh, okay, that's nice.
Regal would be one of those that would probably be a lot of fun to talk to, just from everything he's done.
Definitely. He has a lot of good stories to tell. And a very interesting outlook on life. why he does certain things in commentary. Even explained why he commentates the way he does, and an inside story behind that. And I heard that, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Everyone should follow him on Twitter as well. He's pretty funny on there as well. So check him out on Twitter. I'm not sure. It might be Real William Regal or something like that. I don't know. Just search for William Regal on Twitter. You'll find him.
Follow him on Tout too, or go watch his videos on Tout. They're pretty funny. He's one of those that you wouldn't expect to take to it as well as he has, but he does, and he's posted some pretty interesting shit.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But following that up, speaking of legends and awesome folk, Bret Hart put out an interesting post on Twitter.
Did he?
He did, where he said, "For those of you asking or wondering, I just want to clarify that I'm in no way, shape, or form affiliated with so-called New Stampede Wrestling, and I know my father would be embarrassed to be associated with it."
Now, for all things, you know, Canadian and Hart-related, we go to Tim Steiner, and he goes, he really has it in for Bruce.
Just not even cool, man. Not cool at all.
Just pointing out that.
With that have anything to do with Tim's vested business interests in this New Stampede Wrestling?
No comment?
No idea.
Because I have no idea.
Yes, the Wild Talk Radio Network wholeheartedly supports Stampede Wrestling and all their ventures. Please continue to support Tim Steiner. Kay, thanks.
Who's Tim Steiner?
Fuck the Canadian!
Wait, wow. You just told Omega the fuck off, really?
I was gonna say, be nice to Omega.
Come on, dang it, Kane.
I mean, the Canadian, the one that lives in Canada that's not really Canadian, according to Scott.
Right, that one.
Eric Young.
That too, but yeah, oh. You know, support Tim Steiner. Follow him on Twitter at Canadian All Pro. He never tweets, but you can follow him.
And tune into Wild and tune into Wrestle Talk Radio on Sundays.
He may
or may not show up. Just pointing that out. But obviously you can tell there wasn't a whole lot for news other than the big major story coming out of Monday night, which was, of course, Jerry Lawler. We're not going to get into it too much because at this point everybody pretty much knows everything, but we would like to extend our heartfelt wishes to Jerry to get better. We're keeping him definitely in our thoughts and our prayers. And any of you do actually go on Tout, follow him. He, amazingly enough, put out a video today from his hospital room talking about his condition. And so he updated the world for the first time, and he looked and he sounded good.
He did. He did.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in trouble, Lindsay.
We're in trouble?
We have a caller on the line.
I am not Canadian!
Yes, we got a call on the show!
That's all I came to say. Bye.
Aww.
Doesn't matter, we still got you to fucking call in. I told you, it works every time!
It really does. We sat here and discussed this last night, and it worked.
I've been painting dice all day. I'm buzzed as fuck right now.
Oh, we gotta keep you on the air then.
Damn it,
I told you to turn that shit into jewelry and sell it.
Yeah, I'm sure this plastic jewelry is gonna make a mint, yeah.
It's shiny!
Shiny, shiny.
The chat room asks, oh Canada, does the O stand for Omega?
Oh, fuck no.
Wow.
Yes, for those of you who don't know, the one, the only, the end-all, be-all of the WTR network, the Omega is on the phone with us, and apparently he's high as fuck from painting dice.
I'm not high as fuck. I'm buzzed. It's just a...
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Are we really going to debate this?
I'm buzzed.
If he was high as fuck...
Shut up. Shut up.
I was defending you, jackass! I don't defend you that often. You could have let me fucking finish.
But you're going to run over my joke. I know you are.
Sure.
The rails you are tipping off of them must right ship.
Oh, trust me. We will do that more and more as the show progresses. We go off on them.
Oh, boy. I thought we do on Wednesday was bad.
So as you were saying, Omega.
Don't mention Lita. Let him know what he's in for.
Yeah, don't mention Lita around Omega. He's the king of Lita jokes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Cutler threw a touchdown. Yes!
Okay.
Fantasy points going up! Yes!
Son of a gun. Well, I'm not playing against you, so I think I'm okay.
I'm playing against Scott. I don't want to get my ass stupid terribly.
Oh, Scott's going to rip you apart. Scott's going to get mad if you win. He's going to rail you.
They're facing off each other in two leagues.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We're facing off against in the WTR league and in the Jaegers league.
So it's going to be one of those weekends. Just
ego bruised. Anger.
Actually,
you people in your little fancy world of pretend play, jeez, you're pathetic.
Well, oh, nah, shit.
Hang on, let me. I'm still painting my Dungeons and Dragons dice.
If there was a fantasy Transformers Dungeons and Dragons Kamen Rider Japanese plastic toy fantasy league, you would be the head of it.
Rule 34.
I'd probably be the only one playing it with that many editions.
Rule 34.
No, rule 34.
I think it would count for this. I'm pretty sure there's been a D&D porn at least.
Of course there's been D&D porn.
And Transformers porn.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh,
I've seen it.
And welcome to Otaku Talk Live.
I started both the Girl Transformers and the Rule 63 Male Transformers.
Nice. And well, we did start the show with the whole Cowboy Bebop theme song, so I think
that shocked me.
Blame you, Mace.
Yeah, thank Mace for that.
Yeah, awesome. I figured it'd be him.
Awesome.
And on a related
note, it's a good piece of music. I couldn't help it.
Hey, well, you should. Well, kudos to you because that's a good piece of anime right there.
And on a related note, Eve got engaged today.
Yay!
We don't care.
No.
So, who's the idiot who thought she looked good to him? Ba-dum-bum-ching.
Some MMA fighter.
Yeah. They've been dating for a couple
years. Someone who's taken too many shots to the head.
Rats.
Oh. So, congratulations to Eve. Congratulations to Jerry Lawler. We hope to see you back soon.
Well, Jerry, yes. Eve, not so much. But
well, I meant Jerry.
Questionable, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knowing Jerry, he'll be on his feet quicker than quicker than you think. I don't really think. Does he have a history of bad health? I don't think he does.
No, he doesn't. He's
just, no, he's just bad marriages.
There it is. There it is.
Oh Jesus!
With bad marriages, he has a bunch of wives telling people how he's feeling. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, he was actually up and walking a little bit today.
That's good.
So yeah, he'll be back before we know it. It's a question of who's going to fill in the meantime. But we can get into all that
later in the show.
Later. So first, we're going to take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, for those of you who watched it, we're going to be reviewing Impact.
Yeah, Omega's favorite segment.
I'm snipping paint during that segment.
That should make for some interesting commentary.
Pass the can.
Ooh, yeah, the game sounds awesome.
No, I'm a first timer. Can't do it. Sorry.
So on that note, you are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com, and we will be right back.
I've been living for the weekend, but no, not anymore. Cause here comes that familiar feeling that Friday's famous for. Yeah, I'm looking for some action, and it's out there somewhere. You can feel the electricity all in the evening air. And it may just be more of the same, but sometimes I wanna go where everyone knows your name. So I guess I'll have to wait and see. But I'm just gonna let something brand new
happen. Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
It's worse than me since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The government of Edwards only got one arm.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Now, don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry in the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. my bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time on everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, it's a do up to say about it. They say it's new, but I
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. If you're just coming into the broadcast, we review the news and notes of the week, including the Jerry Lawler story, and we're getting ready to cover tonight's TNA Impact. So, since we have four people, Rock, Enzinwa, Mace, and Omega, and myself, who watched Impact?
If you count yourself, that's five.
I don't count myself.
Okay.
Okay, don't I'm count me, because I didn't watch Impact.
We never count you, because you're the Canadian.
Yeah. Whoa, wait, huh?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I don't have cable, so I didn't see it.
This is why there's no roast of Omega, because it happens every damn night.
Oh, trust me, we're still going to make that happen. We will find a way.
Will this be with or without Alan Wojcik?
Probably without.
Yeah.
Aww. He's got a great voice.
If I'm on the show, he won't be. Yeah.
I don't think Alan has it in him to make fun of somebody.
Well, he does. Just not people he likes.
There we go.
Anyway, tonight's Impact.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to let Rock start this because, well, I sort of missed the first 10 minutes.
How dare you? They opened up the show with Austin Aries. He basically put over the TNA title as the thing every man dreams of holding, and then he introduced his Bound for Glory opponent, Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy came out. Aries praised him for winning the Bound for Glory series, coming, you know, up against, you know, overcoming the odds. And this brought out Bully Ray. And he said both men are lucky. He said Aries is lucky because he knows damn well that he would have beaten him at Bound for Glory and taken the title. Ray said Hardy is lucky because he felt bad for him for some reason when he was attacked by the Ace and the Nates. I took my eye off the ball for 1 second, Ray said. That's why you beat me. He said he's been beating Hardy for the last 15 years all over the world. Aries pointed out the last time they were in a ring together, he made Bully Ray tap out. Hardy says he feels the same way, feels way better than he did on Sunday. He challenged Ray to a fight. Hardy took off his shirt, and, you know,
Bully Ray. The fangirl screamed.
They did. Bully Ray said, I don't fight, before he was interrupted by Hardy's music, because, I guess they cut out the segment. It's odd. It was like Bully Ray was going to talk, and then they go to music.
So you're saying TNA had shoddy production values tonight?
They did.
Wow.
Yes. But Mike TNA confirmed that it will be Jeff Hardy versus Bully Ray later on in the program.
Yep. So, thoughts?
It was a fact that it set up the match later. That's all. It set up the match later. There was nothing really to it. It didn't get me excited for Bound for Glory. That's for sure.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, if you didn't listen to the show on Sunday, we are not big fans of Hardy winning. Just saying.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the show on Sunday, but I can concur that I am not a fan of Jeff Hardy winning for two reasons. One, I picked Joe to win because it made sense since he was trying to make a comeback and was really getting some traction. Two, Bully Ray just re-signed a contract for 2 years. So you're celebrating the fact that Bully Ray is back, and you're taking Samoa Joe's hard work and flushing it down the toilet by saying, hey, look, Jeff Hardy, you won.
You want to know the reason why Hardy won?
Other than the fact that his name is Hardy, why?
Because he's their most popular superstar and sells the most merchandise.
Wow.
It was actually going to be Storm, and then they changed it to Hardy.
Well, he's got the highest merchandise sales. He's also the highest one on the roster.
No, well...
No, I would debate that. RVD is on that roster.
Okay. I'll put it to you this way. Okay? He leads the roster 1-0 on coming out completely fucked up.
Because when Rob Van Dam at least smokes a joint, he's somewhat coherent.
This is true. I don't even think it affects him anymore.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. Speaking of Hardy, oh boy. Is Stoner Brothers actually going to go to Ring of Honor?
Yes. And you can follow My Name is Wojcik on Twitter, and he'll be covering it live.
Go him.
That's this weekend. Mm-hmm. Big weekend for wrestling this weekend. Yes, big weekend.
It is. But Mace, you're breathing heavy. And we continue on with Christy Hemme introducing Sanjay Dutt as we get a rematch, Lindsay, from Sunday night.
Yeah, Zema Ion faced Sanjay Dutt for the X Division title. This is where I came in. And it was a good match. It was just as good as it was Sunday. Zema retained. No surprise there.
No. And then after the match, Ion basically nailed him with what, like, the bottle of hairspray looked like a Campbell's soup container, but it was hairspray, and he nailed him right in the back of the head and then injured his shoulder with an arm breaker submission.
The question is, did it have a meat cleaver? If you don't know what I'm talking about, tune into the latest WTR riff and you will.
Kung Fu Chicken Noodle. Wait a minute. Bigger question is, why do you have to go with Campbell and not Progresso?
Sponsorship?
Nah, that's probably it. Wait, no. If he sticks with Campbell, then he's completely infringing with the NFL. If it was Progresso, at least, you know.
No. You've got it backwards. It's actually Andy Warhol brand spray, hairspray.
Right.
He's a sponsor of the arts. So, thoughts before we go on? Anybody?
Not really. Move on.
Just.
Okay. T'was a match. T'was a good match. Ion won. Moving on. We see the world tag team champions of the world, Kaz and Daniels, with two Appletinis this week, win. Impersonating Hulk Hogan in his office, and they're basically preparing to suck up to him. That's basically it. Hogan walks in on him. Daniels, by the way, is at Hogan's desk with his feet up on the desk, which is kind of awesome. Hogan says that there will be no tag team matches tonight, but there will be singles matches. Daniels will fight either Chavo or Hernandez, while Kaz will fight either AJ or Kurt. If Kaz and Daniels win their respective matches, there will be no rematches for either tag team, but if they lose, then Chavo and Hernandez get a rematch, as well as Kurt and AJ.
Daniels and Kazarian are awesome. Simply put, anything they do is gold right now.
So if they were to come out with Bulk and Skull's theme music, then it'd be gold?
Yes.
That would be fucking epic.
I don't see either of them as Bulk, though.
That's Kazarian, man.
He's no.
His face is close enough.
No.
Bulk after he goes on a diet.
He used to be Bulk, and then he did go on a diet.
No, it's got to be Daniels, because he's the talker of the group. He's the Bulk. Then Kazarian's just repeating everything he says and cackling like a hyena.
That'll be Skull, then. Yeah. Meanwhile, A. Jason Styles is talking to Zordon about what he should do against Bulk and Skull before morphing. You know, getting a nice life lesson.
Do we have a picture of that?
We do.
We do.
We do.
And yeah,
oh,
and
we tie it all together.
I guess that would make Claire Lynch Rita, then. Making the aces and eights the new putties from Lord Zedd. Oh my gosh!
Everything is Power Rangers. It writes itself!
See, this is the Power Ranger episode they missed, the illegitimate baby episode.
Dang that, Jason.
What, between Tommy and Kimberly?
Tommy and Rita, because he was evil for a time.
This is true.
And you know, this sets up the triangle with Kimberly. You know, we've got a Jerry Springer episode going here.
But what about Kimberly and Zedd?
Mm.
Save that for... No. Save that for Maury.
But Kimberly and Goldar.
Moving on, please! Moving on!
That's enough! And I just ruined Omega's childhood.
Child just took it in the ass.
Jeez.
It's a good night here on the rack. So, moving on... Speaking of AJ Styles, he was talking to Kurt backstage, and he wants to face Kaz. He knows he can beat him. Kurt's worried that AJ might get emotional because of the whole Claire Lynch drama, and he wants to know if he can count on him. Styles says he can, and he guarantees he will beat Kaz. AJ walks up, and Wes Briscoe, who is one half of your NWA something-something champions with Cassidy Riley, go to his website, CassidyRiley.net.
Shameless plug.
Damn right. Walks up to Kurt Angle and catches up with him and asks if he can watch AJ. Kurt says sure, and they walk off together. We then get a video package with Storm and Rude, which is epic.
Yeah, and then we brought out Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode came to the ring. He said he was screwed 2 months ago when he lost and wasn't allowed to have another title match with Austin Aries as champion. He said he took his ball and went home. And then he watched James do him pour his blood, sweat, and tears into the Battle for Glory series. Rude said he questioned why a guy he carried should get a title shot rather than him, so he went to No Surrender and, well, smashed the beer bottle over James Storm's head. And then James Storm came out and, well, James Storm beat the living crap out of Bobby Rude.
Yep, all over the impact zone, they went over the guardrail and proceeded to go crowd diving. Storm choked, pulled a Daniel Bryan and choked Rude with his own tie. And then they went into the back where the cameras did not follow.
You know, because they don't have cameras in the back.
No, they don't have cameras in the back. Except when Kurt Angle and AJ and Wes Briscoe were there.
Well, or Hope. Yeah, well.
Anyway, we got a video package for AJ, and then up next is your match between Kazarian and AJ Styles.
Back in 2004, and they used to, when they were battling for the X Division title.
Yes.
Whatever happened after that?
Vince Russo.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
That's the first time anyone has said Vince Russo, and that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, beat me to it.
Sorry, Omega.
He's now going to go pout now because you stole his joke.
It's the fumes. They're slowing me down.
Lita, go.
You know what really turns me off is stretch marks around the mouth.
Apparently that's what turned CM Punk on.
As I keep saying, he's not going to be drug-free for long.
He wasn't drug-free to begin with. You gotta take a lot of drugs if you want to deal with Lita. Or have to pump a lot of drugs out of you. Because, let's be honest, between Chris Chetty, the ECW locker room, and Matt Hardy, you're a walking, talking pharmacy.
Well, you could just do like every other guy does and stand in line. You know, she's got the now serving sign hanging over her bed.
I have a picture of that somewhere.
Yeah, only bedroom in the world that has a waiting area.
Anyway, this match.
Moving on. This was a good match. It was decent. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. AJ Styles pulled out the victory.
And, he did.
And this will allow them to get a title shot against Daniels and Kazarian down the line.
Yes, and Kaz and Daniels are not happy at it. By the way, score update... Green Bay defeats Chicago 23-10 at Lambeau. And curse you, Jay Cutler. Curse you so goddamn hard.
That's going to affect me somehow. Shoot. I think I chose their kicker. Darn it.
Which team?
Chicago, I think.
Well, he got used a couple times.
All right. Well, we'll see.
But after the match, we're back in the back, and Hogan is talking to Brooke. He says he doesn't want Brooke going anywhere in the Impact Zone without two bodyguards. Joseph Park then enters the room. Yay, Joseph! And he says that he's done some research on Aces and Eights, and it's going well. He says it doesn't matter what he thinks he knows. It matters what he knows he knows. Park says he's waiting on one key piece of evidence, and he'll have that next week on Impact. Hogan wants to be the first person to see the evidence, and Hogan says he has news to deliver in the ring, but he wants Joseph Parks to watch Brooke Hogan, where Joseph squeed and then tried to snuggle up to Brooke.
That was the funniest thing in the world.
That was kind of adorable, I'm not going to lie.
You just see him, like, he's all excited, and she's all like, get away from it.
Like, yeah.
How did you put it, Mace, earlier?
It's like the shy kid getting to get close to his high school sweetheart. Or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines. That was, you know... that segment was, you know, awesome.
It was.
But this led people to question, is he part of the Aces and Eights?
I don't know. Do we have a third personality for Joseph Parks? Or is the lawyer bit an act?
But if the lawyer bit was an act, then that means he really is Abyss. Could there actually be legitimate thought into a character in TNA wrestling, ladies and gentlemen?
Never.
Darn. I was giving him credit, and then you just had to bring me back to reality. Okay.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, that happens a lot on this show, man. You'll get used to it.
All right. But to Joseph Park's credit, he is an actual possibility as to how you can put Kane and David Otunga in the same segment and have it work.
Yep. Because I'm sorry, Joseph Park is kind of 10 times more awesome than Abyss. Just saying.
Well, after the whole ring fiasco, what isn't?
But anyway, we move from Joseph Park and Brooke Hogan to Bully Ray and Jeff Hardy in the back. Ray is continuing to talk trash to Hardy, and he dares Hardy to put his number one contendership on the line later tonight. Ray continues to pressure, calling him a coward, saying he doesn't have the balls to, blah, 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 blah. Hardy says, fine, if Ray beats him tonight, he can have a spot at Bound for Glory. Which, at that point, I went, yay! Because there was, like, a small glimmer of hope.
There was a glimmer of hope.
As we just pointed out, he usually gets smacked down to reality.
Yeah, and oh boy, did it ever.
Keep in mind, I didn't watch Impact.
But you could just forecast.
I see this like a fucking binoculars.
Oh, yeah.
You can see. But anyway, they showed a video package for Aces and Eights, and then Hulk came down to the ring and said that he talked about the Bound for Glory series, he talked about how Jeff Hardy came in on top, and then he talked about Aces and Eights. And basically, he informed everybody that he has turned TNA into a police state and has locked the Impact Zone down, where he is the authority.
Apparently, someone's been watching The Dark Knight Rises, but go ahead.
No, I
haven't. I was thinking more Judge Dredd, actually.
Oh my gosh, that movie's coming out soon. Oh.
And it looks terrible.
This poor storyline brought to you by Judge Dredd, almost in theaters.
No, that's WWE, actually.
Is it?
Night of Champions is brought to you by Judge Dredd.
Wow, Night of Champions is brought to us by Judge Dredd, yet they're using a Judge Dredd-style storyline on TNA Wrestling. This is more proof than ever that writing staffs are tweeting each other ideas. And Russo was behind it all. When they got closer to figuring it out, they fired him.
Oh, go dear. Ahead.
But continue.
How's that tinfoil hat working for you?
Not as good as the other antennas I'm using, but go ahead.
This brought out the Aces and Eights on the big screen. The VP of the Aces and Eights, I guess, said Hogan is a better chess player than he thought was possible. The VP questioned whether Hogan has the locker room locked them out or has locked them into the impact zone. The VP said Hogan's head has to be on a swivel at all times. He said Hogan has to wonder about whomever approaches him. And he won't know whether the person is Aces and Eights until it's too late.
And so while there were a couple moments tonight where you go, wait, what? The chess comment was one of them.
Yeah. But yeah.
I was like, what?
I was like, Hogan knows chess. Wait,
what?
Huh?
Coming to VH1 in the very near future. Hogan knows chess.
Oh, dear God, help us all. Anyway.
To be honest, I don't think Hogan can play chess. Hungry, hungry hippos, maybe, but not chess.
All I keep imagining is Hulk Hogan going, I'm going to move the horsey, brother.
Oh, dear. After this, we had Chavo and Hernandez in the back. Chavo is upset at himself for losing to Styles and Kaz. Guerrero says, when he beats Daniels, the tag team will get their second title shot. And Chavo isn't doing this for himself. It's for La Raza, bro.
And he created Lie, Cheat, and Steal.
Apparently, right?
Yeah, that got me going, what the fuck?
He said that. It was like, really, dude? Really?
Yeah. Now you're taking credit for shit you didn't even do. Well done.
I thought Chavo would be above dragging Eddie's name in the mud after his death, but apparently when you're in TNA, you can do whatever the hell you want, right?
No, it's more, this is all Chavo has because he can't move beyond it.
Yeah, well, this is called Chavo has a mortgage payment.
That's strange. I figured he'd be the one to save his money, but okay.
That's my best guess.
No, it's he has no other identity other than being Eddie Guerrero's nephew.
There it is. Big shadow, big shoes. It's Vicky Guerrero who has the mortgage payment.
But yet she's not associated with Eddie anymore.
Nope.
Just a muzzle.
Yeah, just a muzzle, please. That would kind of work.
That would make me so happy. Anyway, Christopher, up next is Christopher Daniels versus Chavo Guerrero in a good match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Daniels tried to use the belt as a weapon. Chavo took it, you know, ducked it, and the ref took it away, and he hit the Three Amigos and the Frog Splash for the win. So Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez get a title shot against Daniels and Kazarian.
To which didn't make either man happy. Fans chanted Eddie's name, and then up next we had Evan something something Greek name.
Evan Greek name is the next gut check participant.
Evan, yes. Greek name?
It's Marco Paulus?
Evan Markopoulos? Something or other?
Yes. Markopoulos, yeah. Maybe?
For a TNA gut check challenge.
Yes, yes. He's 18 years old. He deserves to be in a ring, he says.
At 18 years old, you deserve to still go to college, but okay.
Yeah, that was kind of my sentiment.
He went to the Killer Kowalski school and thinks he deserves to be in the ring.
Yeah. You know,
sound funny. Evan Markopoulos, Lord Tensai, Perry Saturn, Triple H. No, I don't see the connection.
No. This Evan guy is, you know, strides above them all. I'm just, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they've got TJ Perkins in dark matches.
Go figure. But Fursina will be happy because up next is Tara.
Yes.
Yay.
She came down to the ring and, you know, she brought out her best friend, Miss Tessmacher. nothing says, you know, best friend when you call them miss. But yeah.
Well, she called her boo.
Yeah, she called her boo. They're best friends, and you'll always be my boo. She said she wanted to properly present her with the championship belt. Taz asked if we were watching Oprah. Kind of felt like it for a while. Tess Mocker handed Tara the knockout title ladder, put it around her waist. She raised her hand, and then they hugged, and she left the ring. Sue let, you know, Miss Tess Mocker pose with the belt on the apron and on the ropes and stuff. And then, after about three, you know, times going up the, you know, ropes, we got the attack, Mace. We got the attack.
After, like, 20 fucking minutes.
it was long.
I'm going. All right. It's attacker. Coming. Attacker. 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 For fuck's sake, do something.
Oh, I think we were all doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, they had me going at least four times that they were going to end up fucking it over and not actually, you know, doing anything. We're going to get this, you're my best friend bullshit.
This is TNA trying to be too clever again. They're trying to outsmart you and trying to hold off the swerve as long as possible, thinking, oh, we're going to pull them, we're going to pull them, we're going to pull them, instead of just doing it the right way.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Tara turned heel.
Again.
Which
because,
is really no...
Because, you know, there's no other heels in the company at the moment.
They all left. If you really think about it, they did. They all bailed.
Yeah, as a means of a bad cost cutting measure, quite honestly. Basically, they were just cutting the fat because they didn't want to pay them for whatever reason, and then they figured, you know what, if they're not going to pay me, why am I going to hang around here? Winter left, Love left, Sky left, leaving with them with F all but Taylor Hendricks, who's also a face, but it's not looking good for the Knockouts division. In fact, if I'm going to know any better, I'd say their Knockouts division is as gimped as WWE's Divas division. Which.
Actually, it's even more gimped.
Yeah, they have less.
Wow.
They're down to like five girls.
Isn't that funny how both their divisions are gimped around the same time? To some effect?
Well, it was actually funnier that not even, you know, a couple of weeks ago, TNA actually had more wrestlers, well, females in their female division than WWE has. A couple of weeks later, things are severely different.
How interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Also, I wanted to point out that Tara carried around the belt for Tess Mocker like she carried the match for her at the last pay-per-view.
Oh, wait, she did. And she did it like a boss. Just saying.
Yes. We then went backstage to the meeting of the mind. Hulk Hogan, Burke Hogan, Bruce Pritchard, D'Lo Brown, Al Snow, and Dixie Carter. She said...
Sorry. You said meeting
have,
the minds. It's
I have a rant.
A staff
I have
meeting.
A rant about this.
I only heard a couple minds in there, really.
I'm like, that's your staff meeting?
Yes.
No wonder TNA's in such disarray.
She said she's given them a lot of room to run this thing, quote-unquote, but she needed to know the plan.
There it is, right there! She openly admits again! And she doesn't know what she's doing!
She wasn't talking about the company, she was talking about Aces and Eight.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I know.
It's just.
I know.
It baffles me that every week she shows that she doesn't know what she's doing, on or off air, and nobody points this out. But go ahead, continue.
Hogan said Dixie could be next. Dixie said she's looking over her shoulder at home. D'Lo said he's dealt with guys like this before, and they're all about trying to make them afraid. Hogan said he was going to say something he's never said before. He said that before his brother died, he ran with a bad crew in Oakland. Hogan said he had to walk away from his brother. He said his worst fear is that if they don't put the fire out, it could be something they don't stop.
This explains the fascination with brother.
It does.
It does.
D'Lo told him to open the doors. They debated the idea. Dixie said this is her investment, and she wants to know how they are going to protect her and that. Pritchard said they have everyone in the room asking what they're going to do next. There was some talk in the room that someone in the room could actually be a member of the Ace and Eight. D'Lo said, it's better to look them in the eye than run from them. Hogan agreed.
Are we done recapping?
Yeah.
Why in the hell did they not do this sooner? This has been going on for how long now, and you just have the powers that be talking about this? Where it's, oh my god, these guys are invading our company. They're beating the crap out of our talent. We should be scared. This has only been going on since, what, June, July?
Mm-hmm.
It's frickin' September.
I mean, it's... I'm sorry, I wanted progression on the Aces and Eights story, and I got it, and for that I'm happy, but it's... You should have done this when this first started. You should have had Dixie Carter in there a long time ago, looking at Hulk Hogan going, what the hell are you doing about this? And had her continue to pressure him, and continue to pressure Sting on this situation. And it's like, they wrote into the storyline Pope's injury where Pope gets taken out. Not that he's a significant player, but I like him. So, you have Pope getting taken out by the Aces and Eights, and nothing is done about it. You have Austin Aries' hand almost get broken. Nothing is done about it. You have countless talent being beat up in the back. These guys are running ramshot through your company. And Dixie Carter is doing nothing about it. She should have been involved almost from the start.
Yet, you know, she hasn't. She was too busy with Claire Lynch, remember that.
She should have said, sorry, AJ, sorry, Claire, I've got bigger problems. Because you know what, if you're going to present her as the owner of the company, and she's going to be the owner on TV, this would be a bigger problem than some knocked up psycho bitch.
Who dresses as olive oil.
Hey, we all got a day job, don't knock it.
Sorry. I don't knock the job, it's just... How odd, right?
Mm. Yeah, actually, she doesn't have the anorexia to pull it off.
She does have the psycho part, though.
I actually, when I saw the pictures of her as olive oil, I was like, that totally fits.
Yes.
But it just, the whole it was a good segment, don't get me wrong. But it was, why in the hell have you not done this sooner? Than now.
Because now we're on the road to Bound for Glory.
And why don't you have the talents in there complaining to the powers that be, going to Dixie Carter, saying, you know what, I've gotten my ass handed to be my aces and eights, what are you going to do about it?
Because I guess the Bound for Glory series is more important?
I guess so.
I don't know. It's like they have one... While they have two storylines working, it's like one storyline has to take more precedence over the other. It's kind of weird.
Well, if you even wanted to tie them together, all you really had to do was have your Bound for Glory participants go to Hogan and go to Dixie and say, you know what, I'm sick of this crap. Either end it or I'm walking out. And you could even do a walkout angle with some of the talent where they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to take it. If the management isn't going to do anything, then they're not going to show up.
See, now, that would be a walkout angle that works, as opposed to people just supposedly losing faith in Triple H because R-Truth and The Miz are doing all kinds of damage this one night.
Yeah, don't get me started on the WWE walkout angle. Just
fail.
Don't.
Fail.
That was a fail.
And then, like, a month later, they get squashed by, like, The Rock and John Cena. Wow, so everyone's walking away from these two guys again? Yeah. And I even had a rant because of that. Like, when that first happened, but let's continue.
After this segment, it brought up our main event of the evening, the TNA title shots on the line when Bully Ray takes on Jeff Hardy.
And this is where hope died, ladies and gentlemen. It died very hard.
What was that sound?
That would be Omega with his paint, I think.
No.
Pass it!
No, I need my brain cells. Keep it away from me.
This basically felt like the match from Sunday.
It was the match from Sunday. In fact, I'm pretty sure the Zima Ion Sunday Dutt match is the match from Sunday, too.
Yeah, actually, I think it was.
Oh my gosh.
They did all the same spots, you know, the false finishes, you know, he hits the twist of fate, oh, he hits it again, kicks out, swanton kick out, bubble bomb kicks out, same old, and just when everyone thought Bully Ray would win, no. Swanton, twist of fate, and a swanton later, Jeff Hardy is going to the main event of Bound for Glory.
Superman!
Yeah. This is when I cried and was like, why?
Because Jeff Hardy is the biggest star of them all. All the fat chicks go crazy for him. And I have no other reason.
You know the saddest part about this? If Jeff Hardy were to go back to the WWE, it'd be no different. None whatsoever.
Actually, no, it would be different. His ass would be right back in the mid-card.
Would it? But it would.
Yeah.
It would.
Wasn't last time.
The mid-card means the SmackDown main eventer.
Pretty much.
Then he gets the open Raw. He gets the open WrestleMania and possibly win in the 18th second.
Actually, interesting fact, the hug between Daniel Bryan and Kane lasted longer than Bryan's WrestleMania match. The actual hug.
Fight. No. Oh,
but you knew
and
that.
They probably had more people watching it too.
The match wasn't that damaging either to Daniel Bryan or Kane for that matter. That one match did more to destroy Sheamus' credibility as a champion than it did Daniel Bryan's appeal as a wrestler. Now he hugs Kane for more than his that length of time. And Kane and Daniel Bryan are possibly going to become tag team champions, which wouldn't be a bad thing for some reason. I don't know why that works, but it works.
It totally works, and we're going to get into that in our next segment.
We are, but first I think we're going to take another break, aren't we?
Yes, but thoughts on the overall, Lindsay, of this show tonight?
It was okay. I was expecting a lot more than what they gave us just to start the push for Bound for Glory, but it was okay. I mean, it wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. It was kind of an average show. There were some obvious plot issues where you're standing there going, huh?
Huh? What?
But other than that, it was fine.
This wasn't their best outing. I was kind of bored throughout. It just dragged a little bit. But, you know, that's my opinion.
Yeah, it had a little bit of drag.
They were trying to get something off the ground tonight. They were trying to get people's interest. But at the same time, it just couldn't hold anybody's interest. And I don't even think that the roster was actually into it at all. It was like lackluster performances all around.
Even the post show was lacking.
Yeah.
It was probably one of those nights.
We're all
out of habit. One of those nights.
I think the only thing that really got my attention was Storm Rude.
Yes, that was the hottest segment of the show.
And then potentially the Aces and Eights stuff, but no, I was actually there for Storm Rude. I did see that. Me, Miss Cowboy James Storm, are you kidding?
And Joseph Park.
And Joseph Park, and yes. Joseph Park. Joseph Park is awesome. Please push him.
Yes.
To the moon and back.
Joseph Parks, Apple Teenies.
Yes. But yeah, it was an average show tonight. But yeah, we're going to take a break, Lindsay, and we should remind everyone that you can win something.
You can. Tonight we are going to announce our prize for the next Pick'em Challenge, so stay tuned to the end of the show. We will announce that, but up next we're going to be having our Tweet of the Week, SmackDown Look Ahead, and of course our Night of Champions previews and predictions. So, you are listening to The Rackwide here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the retired. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Back in the back of the Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to be plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. If you're just joining us, we were talking about Impact and all the news of the week. And moving forward, well, we've got our Tweet of the Week, and we've got Night of Champions coming up. Who's excited?
Yay!
That's a spirit.
But I'm more excited for the Tweet of the Week.
Yeah, the most epic segment ever.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I've been so excited for this segment since last night.
He found the most epic tweets ever.
I did, so I'm going to start. It comes from Daniel Bryan. In Boston till Night of Champions, I'm excited for our tag team title match, but I'm also excited to sleep in the same bed for four nights. That was one tweet. And he continued, and no, I am not sharing a bed with Kane. Unless Dr. Shelby makes us. he tweeted one 7 hours ago. Kane, however, loves 50 Shades. Strangely, so does the Ryback.
Oh my gosh.
50 Shades of Grey?
Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, no. I did not need to hear that. That's.
I'm gonna be good.
Oh dear.
No, Indy. Why be good? Why?
Melting. Mind melting.
That proves so many theories right there. He's a closet kingster. We all knew it.
Oh, Lindsay.
Some of us didn't think it.
Some of us were better off not thinking it.
I'm a fangirl. Do you have any idea how many Kane fanfictions are out there about that kind of thing? Involving various superstars and...
No, and we want to keep it that way.
Hence Rule 34.
Now I'm going to be good.
52.
Do it.
No.
52. Say it. Say it.
Mm-mm. I'm going to be good.
Say it.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. Just move on.
Yes.
Just move on.
Say it.
No, just move on.
You're not moving the show on until you say it.
He's going to ask you, man. You might as well just do it.
No, just move on. Does anyone else have a tweet? Does anyone else have a tweet?
Put it in the Skype chat.
Anyone else have a tweet?
Mm. I do.
Okay.
Nope.
From CM Punk, my hero. Whatever I eat is the breakfast of champions because I am the champ. Number 292.
Nice.
Sorry, which means we can all eat junk food for breakfast again because CM Punk is champ.
Yay.
Anyone else got a tweet? Mace, Omega, and so on? No?
Nothing.
Look at this.
All I do is stare at people tweeting about me. I have no interest in others.
Who tweets about you? Who tweets about you, Omega?
People.
You don't respond to anyone on Twitter, by the way.
1,400 followers. How many do you have?
524.
Screw you, then.
You can at least respond to your friends when they're plotting to steal your shit.
I know, right?
What do I have Skype for? Skype doesn't limit me to 140 characters.
Damn it! You're no fun.
Anyway.
You're sitting there. We were hatching a plan on Twitter, and you're not even getting involved.
I can't type fuck you all enough times in Twitter.
No, he can't say the word fuck on Twitter.
No, you can't.
We need to create the X-rated Omega.
Omega has this PG image he has to keep up on Twitter, so, you know.
You know what we need to do? We need to create Triple X Omega.
We do?
As a parody account, and he can just fucking...
Oh, no. I don't need that coming up in Google.
But we would let you run it. Then you could just say, fuck you all. It'd be great.
And one other CM Punk tweet. Also, Boston, do not expect me to speak in your language like at John Cena did Montreal. That was John Boy at his pandering finest.
There you go.
Actually, this is going to sound really wrong, but John Cena speaking French was kind of hot.
Yeah, that sounded pretty wrong. Let's get to the next. Please.
This is where we look ahead to what's coming up tomorrow night on Friday Night SmackDown as the lead into Night of Champions. By the sounds of it, we're going to get some more anger management.
Which makes me so happy. I love the storyline. I love it so much.
We're going to see both members of the Anger Buddies in action in two different matches. Kofi will take on Kane, and Daniel Bryan takes on Sheamus. From what I hear, there's going to be talk about balls and who has the bigger balls between the two.
Yes.
Sin Cara is in action against the Intercontinental Champion, The Miz, which will play into Night of Champions. Caitlyn will take on Beth Phoenix.
Randy Orton will take on Tensai.
Yeah, that's your main event.
That'll be a barn burner.
Oh, yes. Burn that barn.
With them inside it.
And, well, it looks like there's going to be a segment with the SmackDown GM, Booker T.
Wait, the SmackDown GM, Booker T, you say?
Yes, and you know where else he's going to have a segment?
Where? Tell me, please, tell me.
Next week, live on the Rack, we have an interview with the one, the only, Booker T, to come on and discuss his new book. So stay tuned, and also speaking of the book, Brock, do you want to announce our prize?
Yeah, you. Yes, you in the chat room. You in the
audience.
All
two of you.
All two of you in the chat room. No, there's 11 people in our chat room right now.
Woohoo!
You in the chat room. You listening around the world. You can win a copy of Booker T's new book if you win the WTR Pick'em Challenge.
That's right. It will be a hardcover book, which is on its way right now. But yes, you will win a copy of Booker T's new book, From Prison to Promise, which I guarantee you is not a bad read. And I phrased that wrong. It's an awesome read. We were able to get a copy of it in advance, and I'm about halfway through it now. What about you, Rock?
I'm a few chapters in. So far, so good. It's interesting to give you a little bit of insight into the older days so far of Booker T and his rise to promise. So it's quite interesting. So if you can predict Nia Champions correctly, you can win a book.
Yay!
Because we're for the fans here.
But we're not by the fans.
No,
we're not. Because that's gimmick infringement.
Yeah, it's gimmick infringement. We're just for the fans.
But speaking of the pick and challenge, let's get to it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Do it.
So do you have a card, or should I read off the card?
I don't have the card, sadly. Sorry.
Okay, so we'll start from the bottom of what I have as the card. Dolph Ziggler takes on Randy Orton. And Zuma, who you got?
Dolph Ziggler takes on Randy Orton. Well, they've had how many matches together recently?
5,000,000,005.
Hmm. Oh, man, I must have missed a couple.
Yeah.
You too? Wait, what do they have?
Some of them.
What's the SmackDown?
Some of them happened on SmackDown.
What's a SmackDown? Oh, a wrestling show?
Yes.
So that I could watch other than Raw? That might actually be better? Oh, it's on Friday night. I'm busy. Girlfriend. Playing video games. Smacking my head against the wall. Yeah, I'm going to go with Randy Orton on this one.
Mace, who you got?
I got Randall.
No reason just behind it, just picking Randall.
Because it's a pay-per-view.
Okay. Omega, who you got?
I logic dictates that I should be picking Orton, so I'm going to be picking Ziggler. Because, dear God, does he need it. Because he's only supposed to be vying for the world title soon.
Yeah, only. And Randy Orton's supposed to go off and do a movie.
Yeah, I'm going with Ziggles on this one.
As long as you don't call him Ziggles, but okay.
Dolph Ziggler with the win. And people in the chat room picking. Make sure if you don't are not in our chat room, send them to media@wildtalkradio.com and you can enter or tweet them at wildtalkradio as well. Up next, on the pre-show, it's a battle royal for the shot at the United States title. So everyone, make a pick. Who wins the battle royal? Yes, we don't know who's in it. Just pick a name. Omega.
Zack Ryder.
And Zuma.
And this is for U.S. title
yes,
thing?
Just the battle royal so far.
Okay. Brodus Clay.
Mace.
Santino Marella.
Lindsay.
Swagger's Eagle.
But Swagger... Never mind.
The Eagle, not Swagger.
Yeah, the Eagle. The Eagle was more badass.
Tyson Kidd. Now, the U.S. title's on the line. Antonio Cesaro takes on whoever you picked. Who wins? Omega.
Anyone but Antonio.
Wow.
Jerk.
Angela.
Hey, I'm going to say something in five languages that was told to me backstage 4 minutes ago. Yeah, you got a great thing going there, kid.
I'm going with Antonio, because he's more than just five languages and Oksana's boy toy. And then the fact they're not going forward with it is kind of annoying.
Mace.
Oksana's fuck toy.
Lindsay.
Antonio.
Yeah, I have to agree. Antonio retains his U.S. title. Up next, the WWE Divas Championship's on the line when Layla takes on the number one contender, Caitlyn. Nice.
The toilet.
Not a valid answer.
Bullshit. Do you know how many people are going to be going to the toilet, going to the concession stand during that match? The real winner is probably going to be the arena that's going to rake in so much extra fucking money.
Okay, but who are you picking in the match?
Who we got again?
Layla and Caitlyn.
We're going to go with Layla.
Enzima.
Layla. Unless Eve is added, then it's Eve.
Omega.
Good answer.
I'm trying to think of a scenario where the toilet actually would win.
They all throw up before the match to look ever skinny.
Or for some reason it becomes a false count anywhere match.
Layla.
Lindsay.
Going with Layla.
Off the great, Layla retains the Divas title. Up next, the WWE Tag Team Championships are on the line. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston take on Kane and Daniel Bryan. Lindsay.
Anger Buddies. All the way.
Mace.
Little Jimmy does a heel turn and Anger Buddies win.
If you go to WWE.com, there's photos, more photos of Little Jimmy up on the website.
Oh. I want the Little Jimmy action figure.
Wow.
And so, wow, who you got?
I'm only getting the Little Jimmy action figure if they actually have a Daniel Bryan, Justin Roberts action figure set with Ty. But I'll go with Anger.
They did have it, but it was banned for sale.
Darn.
Son of a bitch.
Gotta go to Comic-Con for that. You know, the one that the WWE's not at.
So you're taking Anger Buddies?
Yes.
Omega.
Yeah. Anger Buddies.
Clean sweep, Anger Buddies. Cause, you know,
I think it's gonna be Evan Bourne running in and costing it.
Watch us all be wrong. Like we were at freaking at No Surrender. We all said it was Joe, and it ends up being Jeff freaking Hardy. Ugh.
It's because we're picking with our hearts.
Yes.
This is pro wrestling booking. You pick with your ass.
Oof.
Up next, the Intercontinental title is on the line. The Miz takes on Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and Cody Rhodes. Omega.
Miz.
Miz.
The Miz.
Enzima.
Isn't this the fatal four-way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll go with Miz.
Lindsay.
I'm sticking with Miz because somebody said something really good last night in the fact that he has a movie coming out. So, yeah, they want to make him as big as possible without giving him a relevant belt. So, Miz.
Sin Cara. Just to be different. Gonna go for Sin Cara.
God, you just have to be different and not go with the crowd.
I do.
I mean, damn it, we give you your opinion for a reason.
Wow.
I hate you so much right now.
Dance, monkey. Dance, monkey, dance!
Next, the World Heavyweight title's on the line. Sheamus takes on Alberto Del Rio. Mace.
Alberto Del Rio!
And someone.
I'll tell you who's not going to win that match. My freaking brain cells. Had there ever been a staler world title picture? Seriously. Come on. Don't really care. That's a bathroom break. But to be perfectly fair, it's going to end up being Sheamus again because, you know, Sheamus.
Oh, my God.
Beaker.
Lindsay.
I'm going with Alberto Del Rio. Fifth time is the charm.
What was that, El Derpo?
Well, he is. He's Derpa Derp.
What?
Ricardo's better.
Yes, very true.
This is very true.
Ricardo's wrestled in America longer, too, but we're not focusing on announcers. We're focusing on the actual person.
Hey, you know what? Ricardo's wrestled enough. He can count as a wrestler.
Justin Bieber shirt and all.
And Ricardo panties.
Wow.
Del Rio wins the world title. Up next, it's your main event.
Over respect.
John Cena challenges CM Punk. Ends in wah.
For respect. 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 Respect.
Yes, he was. Is he going to sing Aretha Franklin?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if CM Punk did that at Night of Champions, the whole crowd, whoever, Cena fans and all, will probably just turn on Cena and just cheer for CM Punk just for singing it. I mean, do you mean cheer for CM Punk? But we all know how this is going to work out. Hey, hometown crowd, blah, blah, blah. John Cena's the poster boy, yada, yada, yada. Royal Rumble's coming up, so on and so forth. And John Cena's winning the belt.
Mace.
CM Punk. As much as I would usually go with John Cena in this situation, I'm going to do the stupid thing and go for CM Punk.
You're only saying it because you met the guy.
Pretty much.
And there's photos of him meeting CM Punk on the WWE THQ page.
Nice.
WWE Games THQ page, I should say. WWE Games, not THQ. WWE Games.
Not that we weren't stalking him or anything.
No, we totally weren't.
No.
We don't do that here.
No, we weren't at 2 a.m. Anyway, Omega.
Oh, God. Here's the thing. Being in his hometown is actually a negative, in my opinion. Because I have a hard time remembering the last time a hometown hero actually got to have any type of glory in the hometown.
I remember Money in the Bank, 2011, CM Punk. And then they shot him in the foot 2 months later. Oh, 1 month later, actually.
2 weeks later.
There you go.
So who you got, Omega?
In a decision I'll regret later. Punk.
Okay, Lindsay.
I'm going with Punk. I think they're going to stick to the plan of they have Punk drop the belt to The Rock at the Royal Rumble.
CM Punk retains the WWE Championship at Night of Champions in the main event.
Which he's very happy about.
Yes, he is. So that
his
is
second main event in 9 months.
Woohoo! 2 months in a row.
And then he goes back to being nothing as Cena takes over the main event for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Yay.
So that's our Night of Champions preview and predictions. If you put them in chat, Ken Kins will get them down. Send them to media@wildtalkradio.com if you're going to listen to this on the archive. And you can win a copy of Booker T's new book. Tune in Sunday to find out if you won.
And also hear the results for the pay-per-view.
Yes, on Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
So, with that out of the way, let's move on to our discussion topics. And which one do we want to start with?
You're the host. Whatever you want.
Well, since he was kind enough to come on, and he was kind enough to come with a topic, let's do ins and whats.
Oh, thank you. Okay. By a show of voices, how many people are familiar with independent wrestling?
Here, kind of.
Kind of.
I might have a little bit of knowledge.
Being an indie worker at some point. Anyway.
Yeah.
So then, I'm sure most of you are familiar with Chikara then.
Kind of, yes. I know of them, yes.
Okay. So then you also know that this weekend is their big tournament, King of Trios.
Yes, this I do know.
Okay. I was toying around with an idea when I was watching it, when I was piecing together the matches, because this is the first time, for the first time in Chikara history, there's seven, count them, seven women in the tournament. Two of them make up six of those women make up two separate teams. One of them is on a team of their own. This isn't the first time they had women on the thing, as the first time they did was in 2010, when they had a makeshift team come in as a replacement for Team Mexico with Sarah Del Rey and Daisy Hayes. The reason I'm bringing this up, I thought about it, and I figured, what do you think, two things. One, what do you think is the possibility of a Queen of Trios, where you have 16 teams of three women apiece in this day and age? And, second part of the question, is the King of Trios idea something possible, plausible, feasible, or even usable by that of the WWE or TNA?
That's a good question. Let's start with the mains first.
The Queen of Trios idea does hold merit. Personally, I'm a big fan of women's wrestling, so an idea of that type of tournament would absolutely be really well done. Would it be done in Chikara? Probably not. It'd probably be more of the women-orientated feds like WSU, Shimmer, or whatever. As for the Trios tournament being on sort of a TNA, WWE level, I'd say no, not at this stage, because neither company seems to have enough tag teams, let alone groups of three, that would be able to either A, work together, or B, credible to pull off such a tournament.
Alright.
You could have gone back, if you go back to the older days of TNA, you probably could have pulled off something like the King of Trios into TNA when you had, you know...
Well, they sort of had that at one point. They had their country-based...
The World X Cup kind of thing?
Yeah.
They had, yeah, kind of, but...
But it was on a smaller scale.
It was on a smaller scale, yeah. But back in the day, you had Team Canada, you had Triple X, you could have put together a nice tournament. You could have brought in people from the outside as well. It would have worked in TNA back then. Nowadays, I'm not sure it would work. The concept, I would like it to work, but it just doesn't seem plausible. And like May said, the Queen of Trios, yes, that could work. There's a lot of female talent in the independent scene, which includes the Midwest Militia from WSU. That's a three-person team that would go well in this type of tournament. So yes, outside of, you know, Chikara, the Queen of Trios could work.
I would have to agree. I mean, I think on the indie level it would work, but taking it up to WWE or TNA for Queen of Trios, no, because they don't have the roster to fill it.
Go ahead.
As far as King of Trios, I think either company could make it work, but they would have to get creative with it as far as teams were concerned, and I think that's where the fault lies, because they lack the creativity on both companies to be able to do something like that. At least in my opinion. Yeah. But it would be an interesting concept to see.
Yes, it would.
Definitely.
What do you think, Antoine? What's your thoughts?
Well, I postulated the idea first in on a Facebook page for the organization known as Shine. I believe that's a new organization that's come up as a sister organization to Shimmer. That's
yes.
Pretty much, you know, mostly internet pay-per-view connected to WNLive.com. And when I threw the idea out there, a whole slew of people had come up with different teams that could possibly work or work
when you consider Shine, Shimmer, WSU, and even organizations in Japan, Mexico, Brazil, and so on and so forth. And I was like, well, that's a lot of teams. You could actually legitimately pull this one off. And then we started putting teams together, and I looked at it, and I was like, you know, logistically, this could work. I'm surprised they haven't tried it. I mean, it would be nice if Chikara did give it the shot, but if they were to bring in someone from Chikara, like a Mike Quackenbush, to help kind of co-opt the thing and put it together, or at least play with the idea, I think it would work well. I mean, there are a lot of teams you can come up with. If you look at the Shimmer portion of things, the Shine portion of things, WSU, I mean, if you look at WSU alone, the Midwest Militia is a team.
Right.
If you look at just for being weird and crazy, we came up with Mischief, Christina Von Erie, and Daphne, if Daphne was still wrestling. Then I said, well, if Daphne's not wrestling, you can put in either Tomoka Nakagawa from Shimmer or even Shelly Martinez, quite frankly.
Right.
Even teams like the Canadian Ninjas. I mean, the Canadian Ninjas, you could put Portia Perez, Nicole Matthews, and Courtney Rush just to be funny. And it works on aesthetically that level. That's why I figured I'm surprised they haven't thought of this, and I think hopefully they'll pull off something like this in the future. I would hope they would, because it would be a big coup, I think, for me. I mean, for women's wrestling to that effect, because it gives fans something to look forward to as fans of women's wrestling. I don't know if they pull it off in one big place, but I think it's something that could work.
It could work. It really could.
Yes. Now, along the lines of WWE and TNA, if they were to get really creative with it, I think they could pull it off. And not to say they can't pull it off without creativity, because this is something that they would like to do, even if it wasn't being creative. They'd probably just put it together. It'd be stupid. It'd come off really poorly. Right. But I don't think it's impossible. And that's out of the realm of impossibility. It just comes down to, feasibly, would it work? You know, feasibly, would it be something that WWE would want to do?
But you're also hinging that on one specific word that doesn't exist in the WWE vocabulary, which is creative.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if Chikara had WWE money, if they had pretty much an unlimited budget to do what they want and bring in who they want, they could pull this off. And that goes for any company. You know, if they wanted to put the time and the money into it, to bring in women from all over the world to form these teams, then yeah, it absolutely could work. But I think that's where the problem lies, is it's not feasible for companies like Chikara to do a Queen of Trios right now because they don't have the funding. The talent is there, but the money isn't. And sadly, a lot of these girls won't come in and work for free, and they're certainly not going to pay their expenses to come in and work for free.
No, but if, say, a Shimmer or a Shine, or these a slew of organizations came together, like through Shimmer or through Shine, would it be possible?
Oh, yeah. Well, it all comes down to money. If they all pool their resources and they have the money to pay for it, then yeah, absolutely, they could pull this off. But I think the biggest linchpin is for the independents is money versus the major companies, which is creative and lack of talent.
Right.
Because, honestly, short of really Beth, Natty, and Caitlin, there aren't any of the WWE girls that I want to see.
If you're going to do this whole, let's do a whole fantasy thing, you can reunite Extreme Exposé!
Oh.
Can I set them on fire afterwards?
Sure.
Sweet!
Or you can reform, like, Cool and somebody.
No. Aww.
Can we set them on fire afterwards?
Yes.
All right, then I'm all for that.
I'll strap
okay, the finals of the tournament is going to have to be in an inferno match, just so we can burn everybody we don't like.
Omega, do you have a thought on this whole situation?
Well, unfortunately, things happen here, so I kind of missed part of the conversation. But
okay. We're talking about, you know what King of Trios is?
Is that a video game?
Okay, never mind. Anyway.
Chikara, I know.
Okay. So.
Yes. It's been said, Lindsay made the point. I mean, on an independent level, if you want to do a Queen of Trios, that gets really difficult. Money-wise, talent-wise. And it depends if you had one female women's group that was, you know, obviously the dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you had, like, like a Ring of Honor, like an indie group that everyone knew, to host it, bring in, and say, we'll pay you to host the tournament, and do it there. Three representatives from, like, all these different women's organizations with clever names and then some, demeaning names.
Right.
You never know. Like, there's potential for it to work. A trios tournament, I really only think could work in the WWE. They're the only ones that have possibly enough of a talent roster to do that. The trick is how much TV time and talent you're going to dedicate to this particular tournament.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, Antoine.
Yes.
I'll put you on the hot seat. Who wins King of Trios?
Oh, you mean...
Yes.
Oh.
Who wins?
You mean the...
Actual one.
Actual one. On the hot seat. Well, let's see. You asked me to pick between... See, the best part about King of Trios I like is that it's really unpredictable. Some matches seem like an open shut case, but even if they are, they're not. That's what makes it work so much. The best night is always the first night. The most fun night is always the second night. And the night with the most suspense is the third. So you want to be on all three. As far as who wins it, I'm going to have to lean it towards a team that actually is a team. So I'm thinking maybe either the Spectral Envoy or the Batiri. Because the Batiri have been on quite a roll for the last couple of months. They've been, of course, terrorizing Cerro del Rey, which is a sight to behold, because Cerro del Rey doesn't really get terrorized, for one. And that's like, how do you terrorize a Valkyrie? It's impossible. Other than that, they've been winning tag matches. They've been coming together as a cohesive unit. Then, of course, there's the whole Delirious thing, where Delirious is kind of amassing his talent to make some sort of dark army, which also brings it back to the Spectral Envoy, who've also been on a roll as of late, win-wise, and they kind of would be the focal point of that dark army.
Pardon to interrupt, but which Delirious, red or green?
It's green.
Oh.
Yeah, it's green Delirious. Because I think it's because it's green Frightmare, and red, and I think orange Hallowicked, but it's weird. Anyway, I got to go with either the Spectral Envoy or the Batiri on this one. If I wanted to go out of left field and just, pick a team that seems almost impossible to win it all, I'd probably go with the Throwbacks because of, Mr. Touchdown's also on a roll as well. If not, and I went with a guest team, I would have to say Team Extreme Trio. I don't know. It seems like they probably pull it off. But if I wanted to go with a serious win, I'd either go Spectral Envoy or the Batiri. If I wanted to be funny, I'd go with either Team Extreme Trio or something along the lines of both would be the Throwbacks.
Okay. So if you're in the area, go see King of Trios. It's in eastern Pennsylvania. Check it out, King of Trios, this weekend.
Yes, support Chikara because it is awesome.
Very awesome. I have a vision that they'll end up with a television program on Nickelodeon on a weekly basis. Like Saturday.
Cartoon Network. I can see them being on like Cartoon Network, Adult Swim.
I could see that too. But I could also see them being on Cartoon Network on like once a week, like on in the primetime slot. Like,
I don't know if you can put anything on Adult Swim on Cartoon Network that doesn't that costs more than $8 to put on.
Case in point, Keith Apicary. But let's move on.
Yeah, we won't get started on Adult Swim, but alright, so.
I do like Robot Chicken still.
Robot Chicken's kind of gone down a little bit. It's not as funny as it used to be.
It's getting
the DC special the other night was hilarious.
Oh, that it was, yes. I thought it was funny as heck.
I'll have to look that up.
I was waiting for
that. And if you're not watching Black Dynamite, you should.
Yes, because it's awesome.
Yes.
They just brought back Toonami. I'm happy.
I would be if it were Toonami, but oh well.
It's what we can get. It's Toonami growing up. I'll take it.
Yeah. You know what? If you support the new Toonami, maybe they'll bring back the old Toonami.
Maybe.
No, that's the idea, because right now they're working with essentially scraps. But they're good scraps, but the idea is right now they didn't get much money for this Toonami. But if it works, that budget goes up. Some old shows that are expensive to license now might come back. That's the idea.
Because you can't get enough Gundam Wing. Seriously, Gundam Wing is freaking awesome.
I need more anime. Streaming. Right, come on!
But, so because we kind of touched on the show, and it's a get, Enzima, because I don't think you sent some megas here in the chat box, because it's a two-part
work.
You have to read.
I didn't come on this show to do reading.
Yes, you did.
Bullshit! You didn't.
So, for the listeners out there, a week ago or so, it was confirmed that one of the major networks, I can't remember who did it, ordered a pro wrestling-based comedy, which is going to be produced by Jimmy Fallon. We all shudder at once for this and kind of die on the inside.
Face palms all around.
Yeah. And there were also rumors that The Rock was trying to get a territory-based drama off the ground, I believe, with NBC, and sadly it got scrapped. My question is this, just because in thinking about it, they've done wrestling-based shows in the past, and they've kind of failed based on concept. Do you think in today's market that either a wrestling comedy or a wrestling drama would be successful? We're leaving out reality shows here. And also, just continuing along that same line, say you're producing said show, either a comedy or a drama, and it's based on pro wrestling. What would be your formula to make it successful? You know, would you bring people in from the industry to consult on the show? If so, who would you bring in? Would you have them write? Would you have them star in it? What would you do? So who's ready?
You're the host. Pick somebody.
Well, you talked. Go, Rock.
Walk right into that one.
I know I did.
Don't you know how this network works?
I know. I set myself up for it because I actually
just
have an answer.
Mute your mic next time.
No, I actually have an answer for this one.
Right.
I want Aaron Sorkin type show to, you know, him to write it and produce it and stuff. He would actually make this type of show work. A mixture of comedy and drama. It would be sort of a backstage kind of ish type show. Not like, you know, along the lines of what he did with Studio 60, what he's currently doing with The Newsroom, that type of show. That's why I would think it would be successful if he was the one behind it. I don't know how many other people would actually be able to write something successful like that, but I can see him as someone who would. I guess that covers both, sort of. Industry.
Would you bring anybody in?
You would have consultants from the industry. I don't have any names for you, but I would bring in consultants to get, you know, the facts and the history right. But, you know, I that's basically it. Yeah, that's about it. I'd bring them in to consult, not star.
No. Okay. Who's next?
This is where you have to pick somebody.
All right, Omega.
Damn it. Something in my head is telling me to say Joss Whedon presents Ryback, the Jobber Slayer.
Oh, God.
We want to get people to watch the show. Watch.
It's made by Joss Whedon. People will watch it.
Yeah, they will, actually. That's what's sad.
Yes. There are two types of people who will watch it. Joss Whedon fans and Joss Whedon haters.
Okay, here's the thing. I think there's potential in a comedy show based on wrestling, if only because there's a lot to goof on. There's a lot to satire. You know, I know it would have to be in the hands of someone funnier than Jimmy Fallon, So, anybody? The guy's a wrestling fan, okay, so he's a little, he might be a little bit true to the material, but you know what? No. It's not, the humor's just not going to be there. And, I don't know, The Rock's show, there's some potential behind it, but you wouldn't get it on NBC because it's too exposing to the business. I mean, if you're gonna work things like you would in indie territory. Mm-hmm. With their partnership with WWE, they never allow that on that network. And I don't think you get any other network to pick up something like that.
Well, somebody mentioned last night, do you picture networks like Showtime or HBO or FX or somebody like that? Somebody that can kind of push that envelope a little bit more than a major network, picking up something like this and running with it.
The thing is, a major network isn't going to consider a major drama based on pro wrestling, because while pro wrestling draws, it's still considered something of a sideshow on television. No one takes it seriously. So if you do a major show, that dramatizes pro wrestling, you're going to see people taking it even less seriously. Like, I don't think you're going to get any, I don't think you'd get anyone to follow it. Not your casual viewer that you really need to pull in.
Well, I'm not even saying it has to be a drama, just you could have it, it doesn't have to be a sitcom, but, cause you just have HBO pick it up, and they usually amp up the sex and the violence. Or the comedy a little bit, depending on which they take. Although, most of their comedies are dark comedies, anyway.
Yeah. I'm just saying I think there's more merit in the comedy.
I can see that.
As for the second part, and Mace could call this one from a mile away. One word. Animated!
Believe it or not, with my concept, I was thinking Seth Green and, like, literally a Robot Chicken style. These are the old wrestling figures.
Celebrity Deathmatch.
Damn right! Bring that back!
Yes!
Wow. I say animated because this was the appeal of pro wrestling. Because it's supposed to be, like, an exaggeration of real life. It's supposed to be watching people do things you think of only in, like, comic books and cartoons. So if you want to push the envelope a little farther, if you want to actually kind of elevate what's going on in the ring, you put it to animation. John Cena's moves might actually look like they hurt if someone else drew them.
Plus, when John Cena jumps up for the five-knuckle shuffle, he can jump 40 feet in the air and come down in a fiery ball of death.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked like Wile E. Coyote coming down with...
No, sell it, though.
why when Omega said the Wile E. Coyote, all of a sudden I imagine something like Rey Mysterio getting ready to be powerbombed by the Undertaker, and he holds up this little sign at the peak of the powerbomb saying, yikes.
Yes. So, okay, Mace, what about you?
As I said, mine would be an old school over exaggeration comedy done by Seth Green and the Robot Chicken Boys, just so they could use the old wrestling figures with really bad impersonators, or actually hiring the old bastards to do their own voices. And probably somebody I'd get in to help with the comedy would be probably Mick Foley.
Oh, that would be
good. Or maybe even Al Snow. Get the people who actually have a reputation of comedy within the wrestling business to write the actual comedy. Plus, Foley can actually write, which is a good thing. But, yeah, that's pretty much what I came up with. Or at least what I could come up with in the span of
5 minutes. Maybe less.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. See, what I was kind of thinking of was to kind of do a mix of a drama and a comedy where you have those more of those smart, zinging one-liners. And it maybe follows, I don't know if you've seen it or heard of it, there's a show called Smash. where it's a Broadway-based show, and it follows a young star through the creation of a Broadway show. I was kind of thinking maybe you could produce a wrestling show along that line where you start, you know, your main central character is a young up-and-comer, and you've got the, you know, the promoter and the all the backstage folks and the grizzled veterans and that kind of thing. And you're following this person as they go through the creation of maybe an indie show or a pay-per-view or something like that, and that's your first season, and kind of go through all the drama, and you don't necessarily focus on the wrestling, but more what happens around the creation of the show. And maybe get, I was actually thinking, because I've been watching a lot of JLA Unlimited, getting the guys who wrote those storylines kind of do it. Just because they're good at mixing those two elements.
Bruce Timm and Paul Dini?
I believe so.
Can't go wrong with those two. 100 and some odd episodes of Batman the Animated Series is proof of that.
Yeah.
Don't like the show?
No, you mentioned that series and something happened in my pants. Never mind.
Oh, ooh.
But, you know, just to take a different spin on it and show a different side of it. And I was also thinking maybe another, if you, because, I mean, wrestling is full of those historical moments that you could base a series in. The Monday Night Wars, you know, the Territory Days, like The Rock was thinking, focus on maybe some of the families, like the Harts or the Von Erichs or the Briscoes or, you know, whomever you want. You know, you could focus a show around. And I think if you did it right, it could work. But that's the whole thing, is doing it right. Because, I mean, as somebody pointed out last night, nobody would think that ad execs from the 1950s would be a good show. And Mad Men is now what, in their fifth season? Fourth?
I think fifth.
So it's just, and it would be something curious, because I would at least give it a shot. But I'm weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, does anybody have anything else they would like to talk about?
Did I even give my opinion on this?
Yeah, you just, like, forgot him, Lindsay. Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Way to go.
Please go ahead.
Way to go, being the host. Jesus.
I'm a bad host.
Forgot your special guest. Jesus.
Let's see. Between the drama and the comedy, well, comedy would be the best move for it, I would assume. The drama part was covered with the wrestler, and you really can't further any onward that hasn't been talked about with the wrestler already. So I guess the comedy would work. If I was a producer, let's see. I would probably go, as far as insiders are concerned, you're not going to get a lot of wrestlers who are going to want to say anything about wrestling, unfortunately. Some may not. I would say lean towards, well, the actual writers that did know about wrestling enough to know what they're talking about. And yes, there actually were WWE writers who did know about wrestling enough to know what they were talking about. They weren't listened to, but oh well. Like Court Bauer, and I guess Dave Lagana, or maybe maybe Gabe Sapolsky or something.
On it.
See, I thought that too, but then Cornette may be a little too old school to want to do that. Paul Heyman wouldn't be, though. In fact, I think Heyman would love to do something like this.
I could see Heyman grabbing at it.
But Cornette's going to be a little bit too stubborn about it. Like, no, not really. Don't want to do it.
I think Cornette would do it, but he would want it done a specific way.
The Adventures of Smoky Mountain Wrestling!
Yeah. I could see
starring James E. Cornette as the booker. With Brian Lawler, Jamie Dundee, Bill Dundee, Lord Humongous, The Rock and Roll Express, and Sweet Stan Lane, Dennis Condrey, and Bobby Eaton as the Midnight Express. But hey, would that I'd watch that. Shoot. They could lampoon that, I'd watch it. It'd probably be funniest stuff I've ever seen.
Coming to the WWE Network.
Do you get the actual guys to play themselves, or do you get bring people in to play the characters?
The only way the guys play themselves is if it's animated. You bring in people to play the characters.
That'd be sad and depressing.
Yes.
Just because if you bring somebody in, an actor to play Jim Cornette, I want to see the auditions for that.
No, you let Jim Cornette play himself. Everyone else, everyone else put in actors in, but leave Cornette in.
Yeah. Cornette's got to play himself. Everyone else has to be like an actor or something.
Because Cornette at least keeps himself together.
True.
Unless he's at a Dairy Queen.
A Dairy Queen run by a guy who sounds like Santino Marella.
Love that crazy old bastard. Or he's chasing down a WrestleMania bus.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you do such a thing, sir? I thought you were bigger than that.
No, he's really not. There's YouTube video of it that he put out himself or his wife put out where they were driving down to Florida WrestleMania week or something like that, and one of the buses carrying, I guess, some of the staff or whatever was in front of them, and Cornette was chasing it, yelling at it. It's kind of awesome.
Mm. I believe it made it into the intro of one of our shows.
It did.
Wrestle Talk Radio for Mace. It's Mace's clip in the intro.
Nice.
So anyway, that's that topic. Let's get to our question of the night, Lindsay.
Yes, let's get to the question of the night. So in case you weren't at the beginning of the show, or you didn't follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and why don't you? The question of the night is as follows. If WWE were to replace the general managers of Raw and SmackDown with a big name, who would you like to see WWE name as GM? So we'll go in reverse order. Insinua.
Hold on.
Would you like to go first?
Let's the fans speak first.
Okay. God, I'm trying to be a good host and you just cut me off.
Yes. Because, some of these are, interesting.
Okay, go.
That's what producers do, you see.
Yes. We have Triple H for general manager. We have Ron Simmons and JBL as the APA.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
Oh yes.
We have a Ric Flair. We have a Shawn Michaels. A Matt Morgan.
Matt Morgan?
We have an Ultimate Warrior.
Wow.
No.
We have a Mr. Belding.
Did Mosh put that in?
No. That moron did not put that one in, no.
Okay, just checking.
We have a Larry King.
Really?
Yes. Someone mentioned Larry King. We have a AA Arn Anderson.
Okay, I would buy that.
Same here.
Another person put in Arn Anderson or The Rock.
Rock's too busy.
Someone goes, what are you talking about? No name is bigger than AJ. I thought she was bigger than the business. Anyway, we have an Edge. We have a Stone Cold Steve Austin. Jessica Havoc's boobs on Twitter. Let's see. What did she say?
Wait, somebody wants Jessica Havoc's boobs to be GM?
No. Jessica Havoc.
Sold!
Nice.
No, Jessica Havoc's boobs on Twitter. It's J_Havs boobs on Twitter. She tweeted back. Seth Green or the guy who created the Family Guy?
Seth MacFarlane?
Yes.
No.
And, there's one other one. Oh, this one just came in a couple minutes ago. Mark Henry and Tyler Perry then changed the name of SmackDown to House of Pain, starring Tyler Perry.
Nice. Well played.
Oh, wow.
Now I'll host this tended around the panel.
So, Enzimwa, who do you think?
Well, let's see. I'm always good for someone like Heyman or Foley. But, let's see.
Could there be anybody else? Well, Arn Anderson sounded like a very good choice, really. A very good choice. Why don't I stick with someone who's relevant and who's still able, capable of doing it? Shoot, not Dusty Rhodes. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I would, you know what, I'd probably go with, I'd go with Heenan if he was still healthy. You know what, I'd probably go with, shoot, I'd go with JBL. Just be different.
I like that choice.
I can see that. I like that. All right. Mace.
I have two names in mind. Whether they both take over the both shows or whatever. My first choice for GM is Gabriel Iglesias. Because dude is a big WWE fan. He's a, like, well, not just because he's big boy, but he's a very, he's actually a knowledgeable wrestling fan, which is quite good. Mm-hmm. And he's funny. If there's one thing you want out of your GM, is a bit of comedy, a bit of levity. And the other person I was thinking would be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because, you know, he used to be the governor of California. So why not manage a couple of TV shows?
I can see that. Can you picture, though, Vince paying Arnold Schwarzenegger to come in?
Considering Schwarzenegger probably needs the money for alimony and child support now, yeah, it is possible.
Oh, hell, he's married to a Kennedy. She's paying him.
I just thought interesting ideas rather than going, oh my god, ex-wrestlers.
No, I like it. I think it's good. So, Omega?
No, I kind of like the Ultimate Warrior idea.
Is he bringing Papa John's?
I'm imagining him coming back. I'm imagining him cutting a promo backstage with a few wrestlers around him. Go, you know, with the usual Warrior spiel. Of complete nonsense. Him in the back going, should I jump off the tallest building in the world? Should I lay down on the lawn and let them run me over with lawnmowers? I saw walls. Walls built with fear. With raging elephants. And everyone going around, what the fuck did he just say?
Let's consult Goldar.
And then you hear then someone in the back says, he's saying you're in a tag match, player.
Oh. Now it makes sense.
I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be hysterical. Just let him go on just complete madness. Have Teddy Long as the translator, and somehow it all works out.
Wow, that works.
Okay, I like it. Definitely different. Rock.
Holler at your Hebrew, Paul. Heyman?
Holler at your Hebrew Paul Heyman.
Have you not seen that video?
Have you not seen that video?
I have not, no.
Go find Heyman Hustle on Facebook or Twitter. He put up a video when he was previewing WWE 13 in Los Angeles, and he calls himself Brock Lesnar's Jew.
Wow.
And then follows it up with the line, holler at your Hebrew.
Yeah.
It is solid gold.
Go look for that. Paul Heyman, a good one.
This is recent.
Yeah. Stephanie McMahon. That's my choice.
Mm.
That's an interesting choice. I like it.
You know, she doesn't have to do much, but she could. She has the stroke to handle that role and control everybody.
I can see that.
So that leaves you.
Yeah, I guess it's my turn. Well, I think mine's the obvious choice.
Undertaker.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's got to be somebody with clout, but I can see Arne Anderson, I can see Stephanie McMahon, I can see JBL, I can see all of them.
But you're a mark for Mark.
I'm a mark for Mark, and damn it, I want to see him back on TV. Oh wait, they updated Stephanie's picture on WWE.com. Dear God, they touched the roster page!
Mm. Did they get the hair?
Hold on, let me go check.
Because we went through this last night, and they still had the hair up there.
Yeah, Taker and Triple H still had their hair. But yeah, I just...
Yeah, they still have hair, by the way.
Bastards!
Or at least Triple H is not even on the page anymore. Oh, there he is. There he is. Never mind, I found him.
Yeah, Taker still got his hair.
Yes, they both have hair. But anyway, besides Undertaker? What's your pick?
I can see... I'm trying to think of who I would like to see as GM. Mm-hmm. And I know I wouldn't want it to be anybody from the past. Somebody that's already done it, just because it's eh. You've already been there, done that, kind of got the t-shirt. Oh hell, I'll just say it. I think he's already done it, but Shane McMahon.
Here comes money.
Actually, besides the WCW angle that he did with the old man, I don't think he's ever actually done the commissioner GM role.
No, he never did.
Interesting. I mean, if you think about it, Shane, they would name some, Vince would want to name somebody that he can trust, that would have a good record, that can run a company and not need a lot of direction, and they could even tie in the real world connection of Shane McMahon as CEO of whatever network he runs. So he has that experience of being able to run a network and manage people and do all that and do it impartially and not let ego and that kind of thing get in the way.
Shane has to do everything via satellite with a bunch of Chinese immigrant workers in the background working on shoes.
Yep.
Vote Linda, 2012.
But I just, it would
now
be nice.
Make it, oh, I was going to make a joke. My throat's still sore from Warrior.
Why do you think I don't do the impression that often anymore?
Hmm.
But I just, I don't know why, but to see that family connection, that would be nice.
No, that is out.
So, chat room.
Of course, you see a lot of Triple H with his haircut, but oh well.
Haircut.
I don't mind it. I mean, you got to grow up sometime, right?
Yes, but it's another in the ongoing Hairgate 2012.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yes.
My only issue with the haircut is I don't mind that he cut it. It's just, it's a stupid looking haircut, especially on him. They could have gone with something better than a buzz cut. I mean, it literally looks like they took sheep shears to his head.
I think they just took scissors to his ponytail, cut it off, and then they just went with the rest of it. Save time. Or they just looked at a picture of Sean Bean, they saw his buzz cut from GoldenEye 007, and they pretty much mimicked it.
They looked at Punk. They looked at Punk's hair, because he almost looks like he has Punk's haircut.
He does.
And this was just after Punk cut his hair.
Mm.
So it's... To me, it's just... I don't mind the short hair. It doesn't bother me as much as... He's standing there in a suit with a buzz cut, and from the back, it looks like he has a mohawk. Which, you know what? Honestly, if you're bitching about him having bad hair, the long hair is better than him having a faux hawk.
Yes.
See, yes, he's married to the boss's daughter with, what, 3 or 4 kids now? The ponytail works better, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But at least Shawn Michaels can now smile because he has more hair than Triple H.
For now.
Now.
Sorry.
He does.
I know he does, but yeah.
Most of them are plugs, actually.
Anyway, that's our question of the night here on the Rack, as we do every single week here on the show. We start at the beginning, tell you, we put it out on Twitter and Facebook, and you get to chime in and give us your opinion.
Yes, so now is one of our favorite segments. Who has to vent? Anybody?
Who has to vent?
Yeah. What's bugging you, we call this segment.
Yeah.
Bugging you and someone?
Oh, as in general, wrestling wise?
Yes. In general. Anything.
In general. Anything you want to just get off your chest?
Oh, yes. I've got plenty to get off my chest here. I'm going to go follow up on Scott Barry's little tirade and just talk about just how annoying it is to see a bunch of parents these days just not know what the heck they're doing. I mean, seriously. Who pushes a stroller while smoking a cigarette right over it? Who gives their kid a phone to amuse them? An expensive phone, mind you, to amuse them. Who takes their kids on a bus, sits down, uses a phone, talks like there's no tomorrow, doesn't even watch their kids who are kneeling on seats. The bus is moving fast, so they can go flying back for all I care. What kind of father walks a dog while carries a newborn baby while not looking behind him to see his 5-year-old son trying to struggle with a bottle of soda that he's trying to put into his book bag, all the while his phone call is much more important? It's like, when did it become laissez-faire to watch over kids? Why is it so, like, I don't care? It's like, oh, I can make another one? No. It's like parenting just took a back seat for some reason, and it's starting to annoy me. It's like they don't care about taking care of their kids, but when you start to say something, they get on your case and say, get away from my kid, this is mine, blah, blah, blah. It's not property, it's a human life. Get over yourself, man.
For some people, it's a status symbol.
But that's not parenting. You don't put your kid in front of a TV and call that babysitting. You don't send your kid to school expecting the teacher to babysit for you. You have to do the job. If you don't do the job, they're not going to develop. I mean, sure, there are some cases where no matter how well you do a job, the kid still comes out crappy. But it's annoying the hell out of me. And quite frankly, I fear for the future because I see more and more kids with no boundaries, more and more kids with no levels of respect, more and more kids who have this sense of entitlement to them. I'm like, you're not entitled to anything. You have to earn it. And
to my boot up your ass.
Exactly. And heaven forbid you put that boot up that posterior, or you'll get arrested for it. I mean,
putting your boot up a kid's ass is bullying. Be a star, man. Be a star.
Yeah, I know.
Bullshit, I have a field goal record on my little brother.
But that's what's bugging me.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. I think, you know, parents are severely lacking. I see it all the time around here. And it's just, it's irritating. It's, you know, you let your kids run wild. And I understand. Kids will be kids. And I get that. But you know what? My parents, when I was growing up, they wouldn't let me throw tantrums in stores or in restaurants. They wouldn't let me do half the shit that kids did now.
Neither would mine. In fact, I had to learn the value of a dollar and of valuables by being told everything's too expensive. Yet nowadays, you can buy whatever you want. Buy the kid a freaking cell phone at 13. Buy them a laptop at the age of 12, like age of like 15. Buy them this, buy them that. It's so easy.
I've seen kids at 8 with cell phones. It's ridiculous. You're too young to have a cell phone.
Way too young. And if it's a whole, you need to communicate with mom and dad if they're not here, then apparently mom and dad aren't doing their job and taking their kids home from school.
What happened to giving your kid a pager?
Is that
what your parents make pagers anymore?
No, they don't make pagers anymore.
what happened to the parent that would say, turn the fucking televisions off, go outside, get a stick, play in the backyard, fall off a tree, scrape your knee and fucking learn how to climb?
You know what happened to that parent? That parent
is on the phone talking to their girlfriend or boyfriend saying, oh, I can't stand these kids. It's so stressful. I'm like, well, what'd you expect?
No, they're not even doing that. They're on the phone to their lawyers saying, how can I sue a tree?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then the lawyers are saying, you don't sue the tree, you sue the park.
You sue the city.
And guess who's got millions of dollars from the city's taxpayer money?
Clearly didn't put a warning sign on that tree telling us that gravity will make you hurt.
Quick, sue physics! Somebody call Stephen Hawking.
God. Gotta bring back Newton from the dead just to put a lawsuit on him.
He'll do it.
He'll try.
They will try.
Well, I think it's like you said, there's the entitlement, and then there's the there's a get out of jail free card for everything now. There is no personal accountability or responsibility. If little Bobby pushes somebody down, well, it's not Bobby's fault. He's got this problem, or this problem. I mean, nobody is held really accountable for anything that they do anymore.
No.
And nobody says anything because we're all so goddamn afraid that we're going to piss somebody off and get sued that nothing's happening. The society
we have a conversation sort of like this about bullying the other day where it was along the lines of, you know, we have kids these days taking the Facebook and YouTube with their little, I'm so sad I get picked on at school and I'm being bullied. What happened to the days where you turn around and if some bully was picking on you, you turn around try and put the bully's teeth down their throat. What happened to having a fucking backbone?
They're gone.
That's considered assault now, unfortunately. And you can get sued for that.
Yeah, you turn in your backbone when you pick up on soccer practice.
There you go. And it's getting even worse now to the point where you see even pregnant women doing stupid things. I mean, I hear that a pregnant woman asked another guy for a cigarette light? And I'm like, you're pregnant. Why would you want to smoke?
Well, never mind. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, honestly, it's her body. It's her choice.
Yeah, but it's just, I don't know. Logistically, it's just a health concern. I look at it as a health concern, not a matter of or choice. More of a health concern. I'm like, you're nursing. Someone else is in there too.
But it's a health concern that while it has some facts to back it up, that it is a health concern, there are other facts by other groups that say it's not a health concern. New results on every subject come out every 10 minutes, depending on who you bribe to publish the results.
I've got friends who will dispute any one of those claims against it because one of my friend's wife smoked because she didn't know she was pregnant until about 4 or 5 months in. And that, you know, that baby was already normal size because my buddy is big, like over 6.
Mm.
And now they got baby number 2 on the way and I think it already weighs more than the first one did when it came out.
Wow. That poor woman.
Mm.
I mean, I've heard facts that honestly eating fish while you're pregnant is dangerous because of mercury levels in the ocean. I've heard all kinds of things. And it's just, I mean, and there's nothing wrong if you think it's a health concern. That's certainly you. It's just, and there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's more, I think that's the other thing that irritates me kind of about society is everybody else is like, oh, it's dangerous, you shouldn't do it. Why?
Well, especially when it comes to, like, health, you have groups saying that you shouldn't be eating red meat, you shouldn't be eating white meat, you shouldn't be eating you shouldn't be eating salad, you shouldn't be eating this, you shouldn't be eating that. Well, what can we eat? Here, eat this nut, but make sure you cut it in the tiny, wee little pieces, because we don't want you to choke on it.
It's kind of like the federal government banning certain oils and putting regulations on food.
Oh yeah, in New York City they just passed the whole ban on certain sodas. If it's basically a soda that's 16 ounces or higher, it's banned.
Wow.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's...
Well, just to give you a sort of a counterpoint from, like, another country, because, you know, Australian and all.
Oh, no, here we go, the frosted flakes again.
Yeah, for one, we do not have frosted flakes in this country anymore. Fuck my government. But there was recently a push by health food lobby groups to ban pregnant women from drinking at all. Like, it used to be that you could have, like, maybe one or two glasses during pregnancy without a problem. Now they want to ban it completely because they can't be sure or not if there's any actual harm being done to the baby.
Oh, fuck you. I'll just drink at home.
So, but nothing against, but they're going to ban it anyway because they don't know.
So in your country, they can ban things because... Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You see how they are with video game legislation.
Do not get me started on that. No.
Not getting into that war tonight.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, I feel sorry for Australia because they're getting cheated out of, like, half the good games that are coming out. Wrong. But let's not touch that.
Yeah, but good vent.
Thank you.
So, Mace... Other than the fact that you have no Frosted Flakes.
That's wrong, man. They can't take your Frosted Flakes away.
They already did. Aww. They already took my Frosted Flakes.
What's next? Cookie Crisp? Frosted Mini Wheats?
He doesn't have any of that. It's all healthy.
No sugary cereal.
Probably the most unhealthy cereal that we have in this country is Fruit Loops.
They haven't taken that off yet?
That's the only thing they haven't taken from us.
It's positive. There's more sugar in Fruit Loops than there is in Frosted Flakes.
There is.
But they're just getting away with it because of the word fruit.
By the way, Mace, I have your Frosted Flakes. I just need to figure out how much shipping is to Australia.
Yay!
Also, Toucan Sam is running the whole sugar embargo.
Fucking commie.
Hey, he's got drugs to sell, man. Just follow his snout. It's never in doubt. Kill that motherfucker.
Too much robot chicken for that man.
I just got for my 30th birthday, my girlfriend gave me all five seasons. I was like, yes.
Why am I picturing Toucan Sam swallowing condoms full of sugar across the border?
Oh, God! He just shoves them up in his beak.
They're not going to check that.
That poor Tricks Rabbit, I tell you what. I do have a bit of a grumble and a gripe for this week. And I'm probably going to get yelled at by Omega because... I've got a feeling that he'll want to defend this. I have many, many fuck yous to Nintendo.
Oh. You are right, sir.
Oh.
No. You are right about the first point, because we're going to go to fucking war here.
All right. Right here on the rack.
All right. At this I need to hear. And I bet you it has something to do specifically with the announcement that was made today.
Pretty much. Where to start? The console that's technology is at least three generations behind, yet getting charged the current generation prices. The fact that Nintendo are expecting you to pay extra for a complete product, and are expecting you to already have owned their previous console in order to get parts of the current one to work. The fact that the release lineup is piss poor at best. At least from what I have seen, and I sat through the UK and US streams last night. The fact that the American console was pulling ideas from Xbox and Sony and going, oh, look at us, aren't we original? I'm talking it basically
Sony
about...
And, yeah, because Sony and Xbox have never done that.
True, but I will give you that. I will give you that, but...
You were talking about Sony. The last innovation they did was putting two controls... control sticks on their controller. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, I'm not getting in the middle of this war. Go ahead. I'm watching.
and the one and the and on a personal level, the biggest fuck you for Nintendo, Bayonetta 2.
It's exclusive.
Fuck.
It makes you mad, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it burns, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Because it's not even a timed exclusive like the bullshit Microsoft usually pulls. Oh. This is rare all over again, goddammit.
Motherfucker.
This is rare all over again. This is...
That's so wrong. They don't even have Bayonetta 1. Why would you...
Exactly! Nintendo didn't have Bayonetta 1, yet they've got the exclusive rights to Bayonetta 2. I hope Platinum Games enjoys their bribe money, and I hope it offsets the fucking... the individual game sales that they're going to lose for putting it on one console only.
Do you know why they're doing this? Because the guys...
Money!
Yeah, exactly. They were bribed with Resident Evil 2 on the N64 and RE4 almost exclusively for the Nintendo GameCube before they realized, nope, let's put it elsewhere. Then they left their companies and did this. They're still in bribe mode.
The whole point is to change the impression of, well, we're not going to put, you know, Nintendo doesn't do anything for the hardcore gamer. It's like, fuck you, Bayonetta 2.
There you go.
To be honest, the fuck you for the we don't do hardcore is Zombie U, which I'm actually liking the idea of. That actually, like, don't get me wrong, the Wii U itself has good ideas behind it.
Yes.
It's just, I don't want to pay their current price point for it.
$300.
I don't want to work with their, oh my god, we have mini games of Zelda, Mario, Metroid, Mario, Zelda, Metroid, and the rest of Nintendo Land.
So
this is one of those things of, I will look into it once they start dropping the price.
They talked
a lot of people out of day one sales. That's all. That's what I'm saying.
Mm. Jeez. I saw a lot of whiners and a lot happy. I was happy.
I know you would.
What? Because you know I don't care. I don't. You know they're expecting. Boy, they're expecting to have the pre-wear. It's only selling console game history. I'm pretty well covered. Number two, complaining about the price: $300 for the base console, $350 for the full package here in the U.S. That's still less than the $400 the Xbox 360 went for. Beats the fuck out of the $600 that Sony wanted for the PS3. And I had to put up with fanboys all day going, well, it only costs $300, so the hardware's shit. It's like, your system costs $600 at launch because Sony forced Blu-ray technology into it. They, you know, you're gonna defend them after they abused you just to win the next-gen format war? Fuck you. And honestly, look at the video games we're getting now. Like, I've seen the tech demos from the Wii U. It's capable of gorgeous graphics. But do they really need to be any better? Do you need photorealistic characters that you're shooting up in Call of Duty? Because that's a fucking sick image. You know, I want the people, you know, if you want the graphics any better than they are now, you're saying, okay, I want the people I'm shooting to look like real people. That's fucked up.
I'll agree with that.
I don't think the graphics need to be any better. There's really not anything you can do. And I am strictly hardcore against any kind of video game production that puts power over everything else. Because pretty graphics don't mean shit if you ain't got the games. Are you listening, PlayStation 3?
Nice.
Fact is, it's $300. Or $350, still cheaper than any of the other consoles that their competitors have done lately, and it's a new gaming experience. You know what? I really dig this two screen thing because it's not something a console has ever done before. It's a different level of immersion. It's a different style of gameplay. You know, I'm not interested in playing a PlayStation 3 that's been using the same controller for 15 years, playing the exact same way for 15 years. I want something new. bottom line, I'm willing to pay for new.
Okay. Are we good?
Are we good, Omega, or are we, should we continue on and yell and scream at each other?
You vented, I vented. I think we're okay.
So, Omega, do you have anything else you want to vent about?
Yeah, they're doing a live action version of the Brave Little Toaster. Fuck you, Hollywood.
They're making a sequel to Twins.
They're still going forward with the TMNT movie after seeing what that god awful script looked like.
Well, they scrapped that script. Thank God.
They're gonna make it less abrasive? Less? I don't even know where to begin with that one. Nope.
How about not making them fucking aliens?
That would work.
Not everything has to be an alien, Michael Bay.
Explosion!
Yes, you know it. But look at it this way. April will be super skinny, hot, and her boobs will be hanging out of her top.
Yes, and she won't be able to act her way out of a turtle shell.
But it's boobies, so it's all good.
She will ruin yellow leotards forever.
She will.
Yeah. Well, at this point, I'm going to say goodbye, people, because I have a guest here, so...
Okay. Thank you for coming.
I was just breathing heavy. It's okay. But I'm...
Oh, beautiful.
All right, later, people.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So long.
Sorry, Rock, do you have anything you want to get off your chest?
And now, back to the show, where it is okay to scream blood for the blood gods. Otaku, talk live with the Spug Guy and Omega.
Oh my god.
How many promos did he cut and he had no idea how to say the word otaku?
He did three of them. Anyway, Nick Hogan, shut the fuck up. End of story. Lindsay, go.
I will agree with that and one up you. New Jack, shut the fuck up.
That too. Yeah, he needs to shut the fuck up. Jack.
Whoa. You want him to come after you?
No, but he can shut the fuck up.
What are you
using the promotions he works for? He can't afford to come after us.
Oh boy.
He started ranting on Jerry Lawler. He needs to shut the fuck up.
Wait a minute. You serious?
He basically said Jerry Lawler should have died.
And he wants to piss on his grave. That's why New Jack needs to shut the fuck up.
He's in a rant fix right now because he just had that whole thing with Mahoney. But that was...
I think he's just trying to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Way out of line, though.
Yeah. So he needs to shut the fuck up.
He can't get attention from his wrestling skills, so he'll do it by shocking and pissing people off.
But my rant more comes from I watch way too much HTV, and I want to know why the fuck you would bother buying a 100-year-old house for the character when you just rip all the character out of it, renovate it, and don't put it back.
So we can have movies like Mask Maker? Sorry. But go ahead, continue.
I don't understand that concept. Don't get it at all. And also, to the lady on House Hunters who valued a home theater more than giving your son a bedroom, granted he was in college, but still, you put a home theater over your child. Please reassess your priorities. Thank you.
Yes.
And I'm done.
Well, you're the host, so continue on.
Okay, just checking. So, Insomod, do you have anything you want to pimp before we leave?
Yes. I have a personal blog spot called themindofaprodigy.blogspot.com where I blog about random things that affect me or things I like. Like, for instance, I'm finishing up an X-Men retrospective, and I had a recent one pertaining to how Sonic the Hedgehog and Mega Man are pretty much parallel in certain instances. Also, you can check me out.
Blue superheroes fighting robot-creating villains? Nah.
With franchises that were... tremendously trumped and destroyed.
Don't remind me.
I try not to, but okay.
Also, you can check me out at the website eatyourcereal.com. That's S-E-R-I-A-L, where I'm the wrestling contributor. I just finished putting up a piece on Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. This month, I'm going to talk about Ring of Honor. Next month, TNA, and then WWE by November.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Omega, are you not going to pimp TJTV and TJOmega.org?
I'm not pimping TJOmega.org for the last time. There's no reason to pimp TJOmega.org, where I do reviews of kids' shows and all things childish. Nor do I have to pimp me on Twitter at TJOmega or TJOmega on YouTube for the toy review section of my career. So there. Stop asking.
God, you're so difficult.
Seriously, one of these days, Omega, we're going to have to get you to pimp it.
No, never.
I mean, you're such an anti-shill, I swear to God.
You're on this network, and you don't shill. Whatever.
But now we're going to have the mother of all shills shill everything on this network, so go, Rock, go!
Saturday Night Midnight is at CB Radio, joining myself, Rob Parks, at Subway, as we talk about the weird, the wacky, unusual. Apparently, I've been told there's something to do with Canadian strippers, according to something Omega sent me, and it makes me go, what the fuck, again, what the fuck, and whatever else I can find on the internet, including, there's one story, I wonder if I saved it, you break up with someone and then you find them living in your attic after 12 years. We'll be talking about that on TV Radio this Saturday night, midnight-ish. I'm here on WildTalkRadio.com Sunday night, right after WWE Night of Champions. It is WrestleTalk Radio. Join Omega, Mace, myself, most likely Lindsay, and hopefully Tim Stein as we cover Night of Champions in full recap fashion and, you know, do buy or sell roundtable of quick hits and the ever so popular Great Debate. That's 11 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw post show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We cover all 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. You suffer through it and then we'll recap it for you in less than an hour. It works that way. Tuesday night, it is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. On the program, we will be speaking with the lovely and talented Maria Kanellis. So you don't want to miss that interview. I believe Buck Quartermain is on the show as well. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer Black, Brian Blatty, Scott Barry, Enzawa, and the rest of the Cheap Wood paneling as they discuss all the news you can possibly handle. And then come back here for another edition of The Rack next Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern, where we'll be speaking with the one, the only, the five-time WCW champion, Booker T. Check out WTRFs at WildTalkRadio.com/WTRFs, WTRProductions.net, and CanadianAllPro.com.
You good?
Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Yeah, now I'm good.
Okay. Ooh. You can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, and please go to CassidyRiley.net. Go to the shop section, buy his t-shirts, buy his promo photos. He will autograph them personally and send them to you. So please go check that out. I worked really hard on that site, and he worked really hard on the merchandise, so I'm sure he would appreciate at least giving it a glance, tell your friends, pass it along. You can go to my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com. Check out my portfolio. And, of course, tune into The Rack every Thursday, 11 p.m. right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by pwmania.com. And as Rock said, we're going to be talking to Booker T live next week, so tune in and listen to that. But I think I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so on that note, for Enzinwa, for Omega, for Rock, and for Mace, we are signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Bye. I can't hold on so rough. Yes, I know. I'll be there when the light comes in. Just tell them we're the survivor. Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. If y'all going my way, I want to drive it all night long. Give me